Hey, crew, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Michelob. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
Recording this on December 4th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, as week 14 of the National Football League season is about to begin in real time. Not sure when this posts, not sure when you'll listen to this. We always do the best we can. Thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship. Visit originalhooters.com for location information in the greater Tampa Bay area. Heads and tails, champion your team. A boutique sports apparel and gift shop that will save the day for you if you are looking for a unique gift that is a fan of either Bucks, Rays, Lightning, Noles, Gators, or USF Bulls. Visit their retail store at 4524 West Kennedy Boulevard in Tampa, or you can go online to match the exact same inventory or see it first online at the Heads and Tails. .com was just in there yesterday, and they are certainly ready to make people happy for the holidays. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. This is the final podcast I will do for regular season play in the two leagues I commission. Already talked about why we went with a 14-week regular season and a 2-week four-team playoff. This year, it had to do with bye weeks. It also has to do with trying to manage potential games that do not have integrity in week 17 and 18. So it's cleaner that way. There are no bye weeks in the playoffs. But we hope we avoid having a fantasy championship decided by players who would otherwise play not playing in the final week or our fantasy playoffs in general, which is why we end 2 weeks early. You can tell me what you're doing. I'll answer any individual fantasy questions, not just from Vladimir in Bulgaria, although that's been damn entertaining and fun all year long. Email is write.todd@yahoo.com. I'm just going to reference for talking points. I've never referenced this specific thing that this specific fantasy person does for us, and it's free of charge. It is the Matthew Berry 10 Facts You Need to Know Before Week 14. He does one of these every week. I read it for free on NBCSports.com in the Matthew Berry section, in the fantasy section. He also references Dwayne McFarlane and the utilization report on fantasylife.com. He's very big on that. So let's use Matthew's free information to help us and give us some talking points as we look ahead to week 14. First talking point, Matthew says, over their last four games, no team in the NFL allows passing touchdowns at a higher rate than Arizona. No quarterback in the NFL has a higher touchdown rate than Arizona's Week 14 opponent, Matthew Stafford. So, even though Matthew Stafford threw a pick six last week, putting him, he is all time, I believe, in picks. He is one back of Brett Favre in career pick sixes. No hesitation with the potential league MVP in a bounce back situation, a potential high scoring game. With Matthew Stafford as your starting quarterback. Second point Matthew makes in his free column. In Joe Burrow's first game back from injury, I picked him up weeks ago in a league and used him last week. The Bengals were fifth in pass rate over expectation. Over the last 4 weeks, no team in the NFL has a lower pressure rate than the Buffalo Bills. Matthew goes on to say, so you're telling me Joe Burrow will have a clean pocket in a game where he gets to throw to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, on track to return this week, and has a potential shootout with Josh Allen. Noted. So, yeah, for those of you like me who had Joe Burrow and were waiting for him to come back, if you played him last week, the results were good. No reason to change that this week. And if you didn't play him last week, play him this week. Or if for some reason he's available on waivers and you have a quarterback on bye or an underperforming fringe QB1/2, Burrow is your choice. On to number three from Matthew Berry's free column. Since week 9, the Saints allow the third most rushing yards per game to opposing running backs. We're getting to that point in the season with some teams. We saw it with the Giants against the Patriots as well. And there are former players that candidly have talked about this for years, both at the pro level and at the college level. When you are playing defense on a team that is playing out the season, some defenders tend to not play as hard, try as hard, physically exert themselves on every effort the way they otherwise would. And why would Saints defenders do so at this point in what has been a lost season for the Saints? They've given up a rushing touchdown to an opposing running back in 5 of their past 6 games. So the game script says teams are just running against the Saints to run out the clock. The Bucs did it already once earlier this year at New Orleans. The potential is there for them to do it again. Matthew points out in Bucky Irving's first game back last week, he had 81% of the Buccaneers running back rush attempts, despite all the good things that Rashad White and Sean Tucker have done this year. And they've done good things. Bucky came back, Bucky heavily utilized 100% of the goal to go attempts, which also Bucky has never been in his short NFL career productive on goal to go attempts or rushing attempts inside the 20-yard line. He was in his return last week. He will get those attempts this week against New Orleans. So if you didn't use Bucky Irving last week after holding on to him for 2 months, you use him this week. Chase Brown, who we've talked about here on our own, we don't need Matthew Berry's help. We know, and Vladimir in Bulgaria was happy for the advice I gave him after the first month or so. When those of you who drafted Chase Brown to be a stalwart RB2 and were like, what's going on here? And now no Joe Burrow. It's Browning and Brown, Chase Brown's not getting it done. And my advice to Vladimir and everyone was, you're kind of invested in it. Stick with it. I understand if you're not going to play him, but the volume is still there. Maybe something will change. They traded for Flacco and everything changed. As Matthew Berry points out, in 2 full games, Chase Brown has played with Joe Burrow this season. Week 1, week 13, Brown has had 45 touches in those 2 games and a 15% target share. Of the 7 running backs who have gotten at least 15 touches against Buffalo this year, 5 of them have scored at least 16 fantasy points. So Burrow is a play and Chase Brown is a play. It's not like you were hedging on Chase Brown. This might only involve if you had Chase Brown and Bucky Irving and you kept Chase Brown in your lineup last week and didn't use Bucky, you're blessed with riches here, especially if you can use one at a flex. Both are in very good spots this week. Another running back, Kyle Manongai, Chicago. As the Bears, what's the right word to use about them? Well, they're just winning close games. They believe what they're doing works. Kyle Manongai, 4 straight games with a rushing touchdown. Matthew Berry says that. He also says he's gotten 71% of the Bears' goal-to-go rush attempts in that stretch. And he's had back-to-back games with over 50% of the team's running back rush attempts. Matthew goes on to say he's been one of my better calls from the love-hate after the NFL draft. Funny how We're a year removed from all the Roschon Johnson talk. And even with DeAndre Swift getting his share and jumping up more mid-season to validate those of you that spent a pick on him to make him an RB2, or you expected him to be a strong flex candidate, Manangai still has value, even though Swift is producing as well. I picked up Manangai in a must win for me this week. It's not just a must win. I must win and I must score big to advance to the playoffs. And Manangai is probably going to get the call for me as my RB2. Matthew's 6 point in his column this week. Only one team this season plays man coverage at a higher rate than the Lions. No wide receiver has more receiving yards against man coverage than George Pickens. And since Lamb returned from injury, Pickens is the seventh best wide receiver in fantasy football, 27.8% target share in that stretch. File that away for Pickens going forward, knowing you'll hear this after the Thursday night game, and that the Lions play that man coverage on defense post Aaron Glenn. How about this one? Finally coming on a bit. If you're wondering how, the Jacksonville Jaguars are in a position that they hold their fate right in front of them. They got two games head-to-head with the Colts. They have other winnable games. They've already split with the Texans. They don't need to deal with them anymore, and they're a game ahead of them. And the Colts haven't won in Jacksonville in a decade. It took a while, but Jacoby Myers might be in my lineup this week. Matthew Berry points out, over the past 3 weeks, Jacoby Myers, 13th best wide receiver in fantasy, averaging 15.9 points per game. That's, of course, in Matthew's PPR leagues, but a 23% target share during that time frame. You came into the year with the Jags, and it's Travis Hunter and it's Brian Thomas Jr., and it's neither. And Parker Washington is now injured. It's Jacoby Myers, and it's Strange, who we'll get to, the tight end. The Colts have allowed at least 90 receiving yards to a wide receiver in three straight games. No Sauce Gardner likely this week. Matthew Berry's eighth player of note is Adonai Mitchell. Coming off a strong game for the Jets, 30% target share since he joined New York, end zone target in all three games. Over the last 4 weeks, Miami allows the seventh most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. Matthew then says, I have him at wide receiver 30, so let's not get crazy, but at the start of the year, did I think we'd be talking about Adonai Mitchell in week 14? No, sir, I did not. So you know what? This falls into, speaking of Matthew Berry, where I disagree with him, this time of year where a Matthew would say, don't get cute, play your big names. If you have a big name wide receiver that isn't producing, at this point, draft capital doesn't matter. We're past that. And maybe you claimed Adonai Mitchell last week or this week. And I know it's the Jets, but it's just one of those examples. Based on what Mitchell did last week, based on the matchup this week, and based on whoever the wide receiver is you have draft capital in that hasn't been producing for you and isn't in a great matchup this week, you can make the switch. You can. You play a player who's hot in the right situation, it might get you into the playoffs. I did pick up Mitchell in one of my leagues. Not ones I commissioned, but in one of my leagues, I did pick him up. We have a Kyle Pitts sighting. And granted, we don't know Drake London's status, and I don't know why Raheem Morris is still coaching the Falcons. But Kyle Pitts, 23% target share since week 7. Matthew Berry goes on to say, fifth highest of any tight end during that stretch. Only two teams allow more receiving yards per game to opposing tight ends than the Seattle Seahawks. So especially if London can't go, or you hear about a pitch count or something else, there's not many others to consider on the Falcons. And if Darnold and JSN bounce back quickly and put up numbers, and Darnold, I think, has won every game he's been at least the 7-point favorite this year. Game script says Falcons throwing. Balls will be headed Kyle Pitts' direction if you're in a mandatory tight end league. And if not Kyle Pitts, here's Brenton Strange, who I picked up in a league where we have to start two tight ends every week. I know, it's good friends, and they needed somebody last minute. And here's the funny part. I'm leading the league. I didn't even know the rules. I just knew how many positions I had to draft for. Jumped in, helped out. I am one game clear of everyone in the league. And I picked up Strange this week. Double-digit fantasy points in each of his last four completed games. He had one he didn't finish due to injury. 18.7% target share, according to Matthew Berry in his column, in those games. On the year, the Colts allow the fourth most fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends. No Parker Washington. A lot of bad things about the Colts, by the way. They haven't had DeForest Buckner, so they haven't been able to stop the run. You just heard all of Matthew Berry's numbers about why opposing wide receivers and tight ends can do well against them. Daniel Jones is managing a broken fibula in his leg. And they presumably can't even turn to, whether they would or not, Anthony Richardson, because Richardson messed up his eye working out in week 6. The Jaguars' run defense is among the best run defenses in the National Football League. 2 weeks ago, the defensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, why am I forgetting his name? Spagnuolo, right? Yeah, I think so. Didn't let Jonathan Taylor beat them. And the Chiefs eventually won and won a close game for the first time all year. Same thing here with the Jags. The Jags are one of the best run defenses in the NFL. They will be ready for Jonathan Taylor. If Jonathan Taylor doesn't have a superhuman game, and we know he's capable of it, not a lot of great scenarios there where the Colts win the game unless Trevor Lawrence has a very bad game, which he is also capable of. And the Jags are really in play to win that division. Yeah. Trying to think if there was one other thing I came up with on the Jaguars that kind of, you know, spoke to how they're even in this, how they're doing this. But their run defense is a big part of it. It's a bad matchup this week for the struggling Colts, who may go from what? A month ago, number one seed, right? Early clinch of the division to missing the playoffs. They lose both to the Jags. Yeah, they'll probably miss the playoffs. I think they have at least one left with the Texans, right? At least one. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Just don't send me an email on Sunday morning, okay? Don't do that. I won't be able to respond fast enough to get you information before your players are on the field for the 1 o'clock or the 4 o'clock games. Send it to me before you go to bed on Saturday night at the latest. If you send it to me before you go to bed on Saturday night, something about a player or a matchup coming up on Sunday or Monday in week 14, I'll get to it in time. If you wait until Sunday, no guarantees. And yeah, that's free too, much like this podcast. Thanks to my sponsors, Heads and Tails, of course, Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area, and of course, OriginalHooters.com. Good luck this week. We all need a good week as the playoffs are looming for our fantasy fun. Thank you very much for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast.